I'm Alon Lipton. I'm an engineer on the .NET team at Microsoft. And today's talk is building native and hybrid mobile applications with mobile Blazor bindings. You can find me on Twitter right there, original EJL. If you have any questions, and of course, we'll have a little bit of time for questions after this session is done. So your boss comes to you or your spouse or your friend, and one way or another, you need to build an app. So you say to yourself, oh, I need to build an app. Well, am I targeting web or mobile or desktop? As a lot of people know, each of these has different technologies that are suitable for it. For web, use HTML and CSS. For mobile and desktop, well, which mobile, which desktop? There's so many different platforms out there. How to choose which one you want to target and which technology? And do you have to learn all of them? What if you want to target all of these platforms? You certainly could use web, and people could use a web browser, but then you lose native capabilities on all those platforms. So you often end up just saying, I'll just pick one, and I'll learn that, or my team at work will just focus on one of these technologies, and that can be pretty sad. It's really a shame that you quite often have to learn so many different technologies and patterns and build up assets as well, different code, different programming languages, different tools, and so forth. Well, this is where hybrid apps come in. Hybrid apps enable you to take your web skills. So you might know some HTML and CSS, but to really master these technologies, it takes months or even years to build up those skills. So you can take those skills you might already have. You can take your assets. You might already have some CSS style sheets and some HTML content and some existing libraries and components and all your web code. So if you have any JavaScript that already exists, if you're using something like Blazor, where you write your code as .NET standard libraries, you can take that web code and you can run all of that within the context of a native application. Native meaning an iOS application, an Android application, something that you install from an app store or download through an installer, an MSI on Windows, for example. And you can run that web UI alongside other native UI that you might want to include in your application. You can share as much as you want of that web UI, and you can diverge where it makes sense. So what I mean by that is, you can host your web UI in just part of your application, or you can even have it be the full screen of the application if that's what makes sense for your application. And this is where Blazor comes in. What does Blazor add to the mix? Well, Blazor Web, which is the Blazor people are familiar with, you could use that to build your web application that already exists. It came out just over a year ago, Blazor Server, and then I think it was earlier this year. Blazor WebAssembly came out, and you can host that exact same UI that you build with Blazor Web using HTML and CSS and C# with .NET for the interactivity of your application, all the logic, making service calls. You can host that not only on the web, but also in mobile and desktop apps. And in those mobile and desktop apps, you get full native device access. So if you're running on Android, you could even call into Java APIs that are on the system. You can do that. You can integrate with a native payment system on the device or access sensors like GPS and whatever else the devices have these days, LiDAR technology and so forth. And you can also include additional native UI surrounding that web UI. And the beautiful thing with Blazor is that you can use one UI development pattern. That is to say, use Razor files with the Blazor syntax, Blazor component model, that you are already familiar with in terms of how to handle events and updates and compose your application. So you get to use one UI development pattern. That's what Blazor can do. And this is where mobile Blazor bindings come in. Mobile Blazor binding ties this all together. Mobile Blazor bindings lets you author native UI using that same Blazor syntax. It's a different set of components because these are for native components like buttons and grids, but using that same Blazor syntax. And you can then take your Blazor web content and run it inside a web view, and it runs locally within your application. You can then take that application that you build, it's a cross-platform application built on the Xamarin platform, and run it natively on your, basically on every device that's out there, any Android, tablet, or phone, iOS, on your iPad or iPhone, your macOS and Windows. And when you're running on those platforms, you can access all those native function, all those native bits of functionality, either in platform independent ways, or as I mentioned a moment ago, you can p-invoke down to Java and the iOS native functionality directly, if that's what makes sense for your application, if you want to take advantage of something that is not available yet in a cross-platform manner. So to put it into practice, let's take a look at what it would look like in an actual application. So my application I want to build is a cat tracker. What does that do? Well, it tracks cats. You enter some search parameters and you hit track and you get some search results. So I might author that as a UI library built using Blazor Web. So the UI you see there is built using HTML, and I use C# with Blazor for the functionality. And I can package that up as a library, which might mean a project or a NuGet package. I could obviously run it in a web browser by hosting it on ASP.NET Core or an Azure Static Web App, and it might do service calls. And what you can also do is add some additional web-specific functionality. Maybe I have a login button so I can save my favorite queries or save cats that I want to track. And this is stuff you can already do today. What's new with Blazor, with mobile Blazor bindings, is you can take that same UI, that exact same UI that's written using HTML and CSS and Blazor Web, and host it inside a native iOS application or Android or anything else, such as a Windows application. Here's that same HTML UI. Now, it's not a web browser that's pointing at this same URL and just hosting that content. That's just a web browser. This is running locally and natively inside the application. One thing I want to mention about this slide is I built this demo in PowerPoint. I just made text boxes and I imported images and I made things that kind of looked like buttons. And then I had to actually go build the demo for this talk. So I actually went and built the cat tracker, and we'll see that code in just a minute. How do I get rid of that laser pointer? There we go. This is what a Blazor hybrid code sample might look like. You have some outer content, and then you might have some native UI, for example, in a button or a label or a grid or some kind of menu that might be native to whatever platform you're running on. And then you have some web UI that's hosted in this new Blazor WebView component. And this tag you see in here, mywebcode.webui, that's something that might come from your reusable Razor class library. It might come from a NuGet package or another project in your solution. And with that, let's jump over to the demo and see the cat tracker hybrid app. As I mentioned, you can find it on my GitHub, github.com/Elon/cat-tracker-demo. You can download the source code and run it for yourself. Where is Visual Studio? There we are. Okay, so the first thing we have here is the cat tracker web UI library. This is a Razor class library that you can create in Visual Studio or Visual Studio Mac today. It has some static assets. It has this background image and some styles, and it has the cat tracker functionality. So let's just run this hosted in an ASP.NET Core web application. So here it is. Here's the cat tracker. And we'll search for domestic cats that are, I don't know, brown, let's say. We hit track, we get some search results. These are all random results. These are not actual cats. These are all, I took images from PowerPoint. I love PowerPoint stock images. Do another search, get some other random results. Let's search for purple cats. And oh boy, a lot of purple cats. As you can tell, they're not actually purple, but again. Here we have, this is the cat tracker. You can do this today. This functionality here is inside a Razor class library running inside ASP.NET Core. You've probably seen this amongst the dozen or so Blazor sessions that are as part of .NET Conf. And so that exists today. But what's new is I can run this in my iOS application. So let's run that. I've got my MacBook sitting just a few inches to my left here. And while that deploys to the Mac. This is built using mobile Blazor bindings. Why does this always happen? This worked 5 minutes ago. It's pretty quick though. Reinitialize the connection to the Mac. which is funny because it's right here. So while that's running, yeah, let's just wait for it. I have this same Razor class library, the HTML UI, hosted inside a mobile Blazor bindings hybrid Blazor application where I integrate the web UI alongside some native UI that I have. So now this should be reinitialized. Try again. Question is, do I need to kill this? Yeah, that's running. Well, let's run the Windows one. Good thing this is cross-platform. Oh, there it is, the iPhone one. There it is. And that's a little narrow, so I can actually rotate this and make a... Ooh, there we go. Look at that. Big, giant, sideways iPhone. And I can do my same search. So I can search for, let's say, domestic cats that are, I don't know, orange. And this is HTML UI right here, where you have this cat background. And this is some native UI up here on top. But now we're going to see something different. When we were running in the browser, this is showing the results as some HTML UI. That's what I chose to do inside my web application. Obviously, in the web, it's natural to use HTML for everything. Here, I chose to do something a little bit different. This is slightly different UI that I have here. Maybe I can dock that there and dock that there. This is the same application, but here I chose to render the results as native UI. Maybe I want to integrate with additional functionality. For example, get the user's current location to get a more accurate reading as to the distance away that these cats are located. And of course, I'm on a Windows on a touchscreen device here, so I can actually touch and I can go track again and maybe do another search and so forth. And so I got to reuse this functionality, but what does it actually look like? So, well, this is Blazor web content. So anything you've read or learned about Blazor in the past several years, from all the way from the previews, works here exactly as you would expect. I have an edit form. I've got validators in here. So if I hit track again and I clear out this text here and try to hit track, we get validation errors just as you would expect. Other things, for example, if I set here on the fancy cat tracker, if I set a breakpoint and I hit, oh, let's get the Windows one running. I can set a breakpoint, whether this is running on Mac or Android, all works exactly the same. Here's the native Windows application. And so, oh yeah, here, let's look for wild cats that are black and hit track. And now we hit that breakpoint and you can debug it just as you would, you know, any application. And there is, that's from PowerPoint. If you want that image, you can get that from PowerPoint. All of these images are from PowerPoint. Beautiful stuff. So how did I actually host that? So we have here this reusable library, and I host it as a project reference inside my ASP.NET Core web application. And then I have my native cross-platform UI right here. And if you remember the slide from a few moments ago, we have some native UI up top. Oh, that's not the native one. Let's look here. So we have this Cat Tracker 9000 with a track again button. That's native iOS UI. That's right here, label and a button. And then I have some web UI right here. This is that web UI. It's not directly that web UI, but it is hosting that web UI from that shared class library. And then when I hit that search, if I enter some random data there and I hit track, oh, no results match. Let's add a little bit more text there. There, I found Momo, that is an orange cat 85 kilometers away, that is hosting some additional native UI that I wrote using mobile Blazor binding. So for example, this cat results component, that's located right here. And here it has a native image with native labels, with all kinds of text. You can set, you know, styles, whatever you want when you're building your UI. And that cross-platform native UI and web UI is then hosted in Android, iOS, macOS, and Windows. And so in this one solution, I'm targeting, well, essentially an infinite number of platforms because I have web here. But in terms of native applications, I have four additional targets here where I can choose to add any additional functionality I want, such as using, as I mentioned, sensors or payment or authentication, whatever you want on those platforms. It's all right there. So how does it work? Well, on the web, we saw it's just plain old Blazor. well, Blazor's not that old, but it's the Blazor that if you've used Blazor before, it's what you've been doing, using HTML and using things like state has changed, the Blazor component model, dependency injection, and so forth. On desktop and mobile, the code all runs locally on the device, even though there is some web content in here. What if I go back here? This is web content. This is running on the device. If I disconnect network or anything like that, well, if I'm making a web API call, let's say, to get cat information, obviously that would fail. But all the UI itself is running locally on the device. No network, no web server, nothing of the sort. All Blazor code, and this is a normal Blazor thing, is compiled to C Sharp and runs in the process. It's not like the web code is running in some out of proc thing with some marshalling or serialization or gRPC or RPC or anything of the sort happening. It's all one big application. It's just that some of it renders as web UI, let's say what's here, and some of it renders as native UI. But it's all one application, which means you can share any state you want across the application. So let's do a slightly deeper dive into that. Okay, oh, there's that image from PowerPoint. Again, love me some PowerPoint. Let's take a look. So in this application, we have this initial page where we can do a search, and then I can hit track and then some search results. And I chose to show these as native UI. Well, how do I do that? Well, the main page, as we saw, has some native UI over here, and then some web UI, and then some more native UI down below. Well, the way I share state, which is common in Blazor applications, but though you don't have to follow this pattern, but it works really well, is using dependency injection. So I have this tracker state class. It's just a regular class. It doesn't implement any particular interface. It doesn't, like I said, there's no marshalling or binding. It's just a class. If you want, you could have a global static. Probably not a great idea, but you could just have a global static if you wanted. And it tracks the list of cat tracker results, and it has some additional APIs that are useful, such as resetting the results, which clears them out, and setting new results. So when a search is complete, you might call set results with those results, and then invoke some event to notify that the UI needs to be updated. So that's my service. I register it as a singleton in the application startup. And again, if you've done any Blazor before, this looks totally familiar to you. You've seen this dozens, hundreds, even thousands of times. So I then want to consume that service from my application. Well, Blazor has this at inject keyword here. So I get to inject the tracker state. And the rest is just boring old UI code. And I love boring code because you look at it and it's very obvious what it does. I've got a Blazor web view. It says, show me if the tracker results are null. That is to say, if I don't have any results yet, show the web UI here that has the search query. And when I click track, once I do have search results, is visible will be false on the web view. And then instead, this will trigger and I'll show the results. What results will I show? Well, I'll use that same tracker state service and pass its results along to this cat results functionality that I have here. But how did this get hydrated? Who hydrated the tracker state service with the search results, because I'm not actually passing that in anywhere into my web UI. How does it communicate that? Well, I host the web UI in this one additional layer here that I put in, where I inject that exact same service. And so here, this is the web, this is HTML here. So if I could put, so I could say hello.net conf cat lovers, or cat seekers, because we're trying to track cats. When that is complete, it'll call my onTrack complete. When a search is complete for tracking cats, it'll call onTrack complete. And actually, let's set a breakpoint here. I love deviating from my demo routine just a little bit. So I set a breakpoint and we'll debug. The Mac connection hasn't gone south for some reason. Let's get that running. And when that track complete event gets called, I go to that tracker state service and I say, I got some results, set those and refresh the UI for that. You know, I think what it is, I think when I'm sharing my screen, that is what kind of makes everything a little pokey. So let's get that, let that run. There we go, started. I'm not used to using the iPhone simulator sideways, but that's fine. So we should see here this new header that I put here, because it's just HTML. So here's that text that we put there. And now when I search for, let's say, feral cats, wild cats, and let's say they're orange, hit track, cat tracker web UI function. Oh, so this is, remember I set this breakpoint earlier. So this is actually doing the quote unquote search. If you look there, it's all just using random numbers and whatnot. By the way, I'm on Windows debugging the iOS simulator that's running on the Mac that's 6 inches that way. So that's kind of how wild this is. And so the search has complete, and now the tracker results. Let's see, there's an array here or list of 17 cat tracker various results. Again, they're all just random, various random numbers. And I go to my service and I can step into that on here, and it sets the results. So now I have those 17 cat tracker results, and then I invoke state has changed. And the UI updates, and I'm not going to count them because 17, that's a big number, but trust me, there's 17 cats all located here, all found using shared state. Some of my UI is web, some of my UI is native. It's all one big, happy, big Blazor UI functionality. And I ran the same code on the web as I did on my iOS device, and the same could be run on macOS with native macOS. This would be rendered as macOS UI while using my web skills. So notice here, as I rotate the UI scales, because this is just using CSS, and you could use things like media queries, any CSS functionality or HTML that you want. This is just a little browser view, actually, including this here, because remember, this is a little header that we added right here on top. Okay. I think it was 2 weeks ago, or just 13 days ago, we released Mobile Blazor Bindings Preview 5, which lets you build all of these things that I just showed. And I mentioned that that cat tracker demo, you can download that from my GitHub, and it's built using Mobile Blazor Bindings Preview 5. Some of the new things that we added in Preview 5 were the ability to use Razor class libraries that host Blazor Web UI, including those static assets, things like images and CSS. And that came from community contributor Jan Villa. I will not say your last name. I know you're watching and you'll just be disappointed, so I'm just not going to say your last name. But that was a huge contribution from a community member. And then some other great community contributions were Skia Sharp support, so you could do rich 2D graphics and animations rendered on a canvas, and Blazor URL-based navigation that integrate the Xamarin Forms shell along with Blazor's at page navigation. And those came from Lachlan, who's out in Australia. And then lots of other features, gesture recognizers for swiping and pinch functionality, dual screen support for devices such as the Surface Duo. Check out that blog post, info on how to download, runs on, you can Visual Studio for Windows, Visual Studio for Mac, takes just minutes to install the project templates, and you are up and running. That blog post has some additional information. Taste of what's coming in the future. Jan Willem, who I mentioned a moment ago, is looking at auth support. He just showed me, just prior to the session, showed me that he got it working on iOS and Android and macOS, actually. So he just has, I think, Windows maybe to do. Okay, Jan Willem, I hope you're press pause on this video and get that up and running, please, because that would be super awesome to have for the next preview. And Lachlan, our other major community contributor, mentioned he wants to work on templated control support. So if you have large lists and you want them to render efficiently and easily on devices, he's going to be looking at that, or he mentioned he might be interested in that. And even looking at things like HTML-only apps. So I want the Blazor hybrid experience, but my entire app is written, the UI is written using HTML without any additional native UI. So that's also a scenario that I've heard from some people is useful. Beyond that, I'd love to hear what is it that your app needs, your dev team, your scenarios, your customers, what is it that you need out there from a project like this? Because this is something that I think is super exciting, taking Blazor, not just from the web, but putting it really everywhere, And with that, .NET Bot does a mic drop, and thank you for joining. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, sir. That was a great demo. We actually have time for one question.
Perfect.
All right. Let me bring it up here. And that question.
I'll be on Twitter as well afterwards.
Yes, I was going to say there's actually three questions, but we'll answer one questions right now.
Perfect.
So I went to the wrong one. This is the correct one. My apologies. Metro developer is asking, do I need to make any platform specific changes on the Blazor class library project besides binding in order for it to run in all platforms?
No, it's a completely, if I go to, let me stop the debugger here.
Yep.
This Blazor class library here, there's nothing special about it today. If you even have any existing Razor class library that you've already written and you have some Razor files in there with some CSS, images, whatever it is, there's no changes at all that you need to do. You might want to change things now that you know you're running in some additional scenarios, but that's completely optional. That's just something that you would do if it makes sense for your application. But you could take, presumably at least, any existing Razor class library that you have written, maybe it's a third-party one, and run it using Blazor Hybrid and run it locally and natively on any device, any platform.
Right. And actually, that's one thing that I really love about the code here and the approach is that you can take your existing skills, apply them to something else, and then just take over the world with cats.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I come from a web background. And so for me, this is super exciting. It's like, I know other people might want this, but I want this. I need this to build my applications.
Trust me, like you and I go a long way back from ASP.NET, right?
Oh, yes.
So it's like, so this is like, I can do this. I get the right skill set.
Yeah, Blazor is where it's at.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much.